Cody, you have been replaced. So a couple of announcements. Actually, quite a lot of announcements. First, prayer is being moved. It's no longer at 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays. It is now at 10:30 a.m. on Fridays. And that will be in the boardroom, Pastor Doug's old office. They're going to have prayer in there on Fridays from now on. It just worked better for everyone who is coming regularly, so it's just on a different day. What else? Oh, just to let you guys know, worship and prayer night tonight is canceled. We've just decided we're going to take a break from it for the summer, possibly come back to it in the fall or in the spring. So there will be no more worship and prayer nights last week of the month. However, tonight, if you want something to do, if you were planning to come, there is a concert in Mooseman. A band called The Color. They're a Christian, contemporary, right? It's like rock, or what are they? Rock band? There's a rock band, Christian rock band, in Mooseman at the Baptist Church. Tickets are $15 at the door. If you still wanted some worship tonight, that is an excellent place to go. I can't read my own writing. It's that bad. Right, okay. Next week, as most of you guys have heard a million times by now, we are having baptisms. And we are having a barbecue. And then we are going to go play a baseball game for whoever wants to come. So if you would like to help with any of those things, Eden, you'll be fine. I can't... Aww. Right, I forgot. You can't throw a baseball worse than me. So there is no, you know, there's no limit on how good you have to be here. Because you guys have seen me throw stuff in the sanctuary. I can't... It'll take a while. So if you'd like to help with the barbecue at all, or you would like to help with baseball at all, or they can just come and watch. Absolutely. You can watch, and I give you permission to laugh at me when I can't throw the baseball. So baseball is happening after the meal. If you'd like to help with the barbecue, please talk to either Tasia or Donalda. If you'd like to have help with baseball, talk to Kathy, but I think she's got it all covered. So that is next week, service, and then barbecue, and then baseball. One last announcement. Just another reminder is that we are having a special general meeting after church June 10th for the pastoral vote. So if you are a member, you are welcome to vote. If you're not a member, you're always welcome to attend. If you need to vote beforehand, if you're not going to be here on the 10th, please talk to either myself or a board member. You can get your vote in and have it sealed for the day of. So if you're not going to be here, you can still have your vote. With all of that said, we're done with announcements. So, you're shaking your head like I missed something.
Father's Day.
Again. Oh, right, Father's Day. Every time, I always forget something. We should get like one of those like gold star boards back here so we can see how many weeks I can get through in a row. Father's Day is coming up, and we are having a little pancake lunch. I think it was pancake and sausage. Tasia and Donalda are still looking for some help, and I think some people to bring some things. So if you would like to help, if you'd like to bring something, please talk to Donalda and to Tasia. That's it. Beth, did I miss anything else? Awesome. I'm going to pray for the kids really quick, because we don't do that very often. Dear Lord, I thank you for all of the kids, from the youngest to the oldest teenagers that we have. I thank you so much that there is a new generation coming up in this church. I pray that they will learn what it means to have selfless faith, that they will come to honor you and serve you in everything that they do, and that they will be affected by the ministries here and by the people here. In your name we pray, amen. Kids, you are dismissed to Sunday school. I think you guys might have something to do with cookies today. All right. PowerPoint, it works. So, most of the time, the beach is a really fun place to be, right? On hot days like today, most of us would enjoy going to the beach and maybe going for a swim or getting a suntan, or if you're just like me, you'll just go there and like get ice cream and do nothing the whole time. But most of us enjoy going to the beach. Most of the time it's great. But unfortunately, not every time. Next slide. When I was 16, I went on a missions trip. We were going down to Mexico to help work at an orphanage. And we had to wear these awful, awful yellow shirts. We had to wear these. He made us wear them to the airport, on all the planes, and then all the way, like, we were in public in these shirts for over 48 hours. I destroyed mine the first second I had a chance. I just, like, I bought a burger and took a bite. I'm like, oh no, it's on my shirt. I better change. Oh well. They were bad. They're even brighter than they look in that photo. So we went down to Mexico for a week, and we worked at this orphanage. And we helped in the kitchen, and we helped clean things, and we helped dig trenches. It was the only time I ever got a sunburn. Out in the sun in plus 40 for 5 days. It was this amazing trip. It was the first time I ever got to preach. I preached in a church with a translator, and I was scared out of my mind. But it was perfect. It showed me for the first time just how big God's love really is. As you go down the highways by Tijuana, people have taken these white rocks, and on the sides of hills, they have written out verses in huge, huge letters. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It would have taken somebody hours. And they have these all over the place. It showed me that church isn't just what I knew. And I wish every teenager could have that experience. On the last day of the trip, we got an afternoon off. We got to go to this market, and we got to buy a bunch of stuff, and that was really cool. But then we got to go to the beach. And it was a nice beach. There was not many people there, but it was this really nice sand beach, and you could just see the ocean going on forever. I don't know if you've ever been to the ocean, but it's amazing to look at, and it makes you feel so small. It gives me a scale of what God is. But for those of you who haven't been to the ocean, real beaches have something called a rip current. It's this little narrow spot on the beach that, because of how the waves work, the water just shoots out. And if you get stuck in the rip current, you can very easily get dragged out into the ocean. That's what happened on this trip. One of the girls, not a great swimmer, got into the water, and she managed to find this one invisible spot on the beach. And she went up further, and further, and further, until we could almost just see her, and we realized what was happening, that she was getting swept out to sea. I have never seen my youth pastor move so quickly. That's him there on the far right. His name is Jeremy. He ran into the water, swam the whole way out there, and then grabbed her under her arms and swam back on just pure adrenaline and fear that he was about to lose one of his kids on his first ever missions trip. We realized that day just how dangerous the open waters could be. That girl was terrified to go back in the water. The whole afternoon at the beach was canceled. No one wanted to get back in after that. This week, we are going to finish our talk on rituals, specifically baptism. Next week, we're going to have baptisms here for the first time in, I think, over 10 years. So I think it'd be a good time to have a bit of a refresher about why baptism is so important. For those of you who weren't here last week, I need to give you a quick recap because we covered a lot of stuff. Right. We talked about how the only way for people to know things is by doing rituals. You know, we teach children colors through rituals. We play a game and we're trying to teach them something through it. A ritual is a normal practice that is strategically deployed to learn something. We teach through games. Rituals also point to something bigger, something that we'd miss otherwise. You know, you could spend forever reading about how music works, but unless you sit down and play a guitar, you're going to miss the point. Baptism is interesting because It's one of the few rituals that almost every church agrees on. The church has existed for over 2,000 years, and there have been tons of practices that we've changed or adapted or let go of. Baptism is one of the few things that we can all agree on. And really, baptism is just a ritualized bath. But it points to something greater. Now, we have a bit of a problem. To understand why baptism is important, we have to understand the symbols. Now, I know last week I said that acting out is more important, and that's still true. But there's a big divide here for us. Because how we see water and how the Israelites saw water is completely different. For us, water is just wet. Like, you put it in water balloons, you take a bath, you have a shower. Water's useful. That's it. It's good for drinking. But that's not how the Israelites saw water. In fact, the Israelites saw water as being one of the most dangerous things on the entire planet. It's an idea rooted at the very beginning of the Bible. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. To the Israelites, water was seen as without form and void. In Hebrew, that phrase is tohu vavohu. It's kind of fun to say. It means waste and wild, completely uncontrollable. That's how they saw water. For them, great bodies of water, like the sea, were inhospitable to people, right? You couldn't build on it. You couldn't farm on it. Storms destroyed ships. Salt water was undrinkable. And like my friend, the rip current could drag you out to sea. Water was dangerous. Throughout the Bible, God builds up this idea. Great bodies of water in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, are used for destruction. So in Genesis, the world becomes corrupt due to Adam's sin. So God decides to wash the whole world clean, destroy some of the infection of evil. He does it by flooding the world, right? This great body of water comes over and decreates everything God created. And then God recreates it after. Almost like a baptism. We'll get to that. Only a handful of people survive. And water from that point on is destructive. Later in the book of Exodus, the Israelites are running from the Pharaoh. After those 10 plagues we talked about last week, he becomes angry and decides to chase down the Israelites as they leave under his permission. Pharaoh went back and forth a lot. So as he's chasing the Israelites, they get to the edge of the sea. And on the other side, they can see land. They can see land that isn't controlled by the Pharaoh. But this great, dangerous body of water stands between them. So God does a miracle, right? He splits the sea in two. He splits this dangerous, uncontrollable thing. And they walk along the floor of the sea with walls of water on either side. I wish, if there's any miracle in the Bible I wish I could have seen, this is probably it. I can't imagine walking along the floor of the sea, miles and miles underneath, seeing these walls of water being held back by wind. Like anything in the Bible, that's the one I'd want to live through. The Egyptians tried to follow. It didn't go too well for them. Their chariots and their armor and their weapons, they got stuck in the bottom of the water. Maybe there was mud there, maybe there was just too much debris, but they couldn't get through. So when the Israelites made it to the other shore, the Egyptians were still in the middle of the ocean. God closed the sea over top of them, drowning the Egyptians, destroying everything that they were. And I don't know about you, but that would make me really scared of water. And I think that's this story is part of why there's a cultural fear of water in the Israelites, getting handed down again and again and again. Remember when God destroyed an entire army. Remember when God destroyed an entire army. To the Israelites, water was destructive. It wipes things away. Things that God doesn't want are wiped away in the water. All things are cleansed there. And that's going to be important. See, by Jesus' time, the ritual of baptism was already starting to be formed. Baptism didn't just come out of nowhere. Like how communion is a continuation of Passover, baptism is a continuation of cleansing rituals. See, back in the Old Testament, Israelites would bathe themselves. They'd submerge themselves in water as a way of cleaning themselves from contact with unholy objects or things that were sinful or unclean. So things like dead bodies were unclean. And if you touched one, the idea was that it almost infected you, that it clung to you and everything you touched. Kind of like dirt. My Beth. She likes to garden. And when she comes back from the garden, she is almost as brown as I am. Head to toe, covered in dirt. And I love her to pieces, but if I don't tell her to take a shower, she will track it through the entire house. It'll get on the fridge, it'll get on the couch, it'll get on the chairs, it'll get on everything she touches, right? There's no getting it off of her until she goes and takes a shower and rinses it away. And that's how spiritual evil works. It clings to you. That's why the Bible says that if we do one sin, we've broken the entire law. One sin makes us unholy. If we were to touch things against God, we have to be cleaned. And before the death of Jesus, water was a small way of doing that. It didn't cover everything, but it helped because it was a destructive spiritual force. And then right before Jesus' ministry, John the Baptist appeared and started to baptize. But his baptism was a little different. It was this intermediary step between the cleansing rituals and actual baptism, Jesus' baptism. He was baptizing people. It was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So just like the cleansing ritual, he was asking people to use the destructive force of water to separate themselves from the spiritual dirt. But not to get rid of something that they've already done, but to prepare themselves. To prepare themselves for the coming Messiah. Jesus himself actually got baptized. And that's a really, really interesting story we don't have time for. There's so much there. The main point is this. Jesus got baptized to identify with us. What we go through as his disciples, he has already gone through. Right? Jesus is personal. He's our personal Messiah. And he wants us to know that we're loved. He went through the destructive force of water for us, just like he went through death for us. And really, that's the point I'm trying to make here. If you walk away with nothing else, deep waters are a symbol of death. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, deep waters are a symbol of death. To the Israelites, water is untamable, yet Jesus calms a storm. And he walks upon the sea with his bare feet. That was a huge miracle in the New Testament that we downplay a lot, because to them, he was standing on top of the scariest thing in the world and going, "Hey, do you want to come out here with me? Do you want to stand here with me? Do you trust me?" Jesus is a God who death can't hold and who the sea can't claim. And there's one important thing about rituals I haven't mentioned yet. And it's really, really important. It's kind of where some of the metaphors break down about like guitar or rock climbing or something like that. Because rituals are normal practices that are strategically employed, yes. But they're more. Rituals are critiques of what we think matter. Rituals are critiques of what we think matters. Rituals try to point out how unimportant the symbols are. So, for example, communion, right? Communion is a critique of eating. If you think that we are sustained by bread and drink, you've missed the point of the Bible. We are sustained by the death of Christ and by the Holy Spirit. I have heard stories from people that I trust of them surviving longer than doctors say is physically possible without food. It's Jesus' death and the Spirit of God and the Word of God that really sustains people. Communion reminds us that Jesus' death is what allows us to live. Right? I don't live, but Christ lives in me. Baptism, meanwhile, is a critique of baths. If you think water can clean you, you are wrong. If you think water can clean you, you are 100% wrong. Sin sticks. It sticks to us, it clings to us. One sin, the Bible says, means we have failed if we're trying to do it on our own strength. The Bible tells us that we have all fallen short, that everyone sins, that everyone dishonors God, and that everyone hurts each other. And if you think water can wash that away, you've missed the point. Right? Baptism isn't about cleaning us. It's about showing us what really cleans us. Something only Jesus' death can do. So this is how baptism works, right? Next week, we're going to have a big thing here or up here with water in it. And it's going to be a ritual to identify with Jesus' death. You go under the water, enter this destructive symbol of death, just like Jesus was buried, and you come up again just as he did. You're saying that your identity, that who you are, is rooted in that and not yourself. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. You go under as yourself, and you come up as a disciple. By getting baptized, you are saying that Jesus has control of your life. That his standard is what you'll live by, even when it doesn't make sense. And trust me, I think we can all agree it doesn't make sense sometimes. I had a conversation with one of the students just this Friday who was talking about being bullied. And I said, "Do you know what the Bible says about when you're bullied? It says to pray for them. It says to love them. And it says to turn the other cheek because they're going to keep doing it. But we have hope that God will change them. Not that us attacking them or us putting them down or us defending ourselves is going to change them." And his mind just could not wrap his head around that fact yet. I'm hoping one day it makes sense. To be baptized means to truly be cleansed. It's a ritual to show that you belong to Jesus, not to yourself. And see, here's the thing. If baptism is about cleaning, is about cleansing, about becoming a new creation, having a new life, then it's one of the most important things we can do. I don't know about you, but I want to see us have baptisms regularly. I would love it if we had baptisms once a year. Actually, I don't know. I'd love it if we had baptisms once a month, but I know we're not there yet. Becoming a believer is a process. I'm not going to deny that. You have to feel like you belong to God before you really start to believe in him. But it's faith that assures salvation. Baptism is just a sign of obedience in faith, right? Faith without action is dead. This is us showing that we're going to act out our faith. Getting baptized means we're ready to live under God's control. It means that we trust him to guide us, even when it seems impossible. And trust me, I know how hard it is to give your entire life to Jesus. I know what I'm saying up here isn't a small thing. And I get that it means changing everything that you are. It means giving up your freedom, and it means taking the high road when you'd really rather not. Finding your identity in Jesus is worth all of that. I wasn't always a Christian. Choosing to follow Jesus has cost me a lot. I've had to miss out on opportunities, and I've had people I love try to stop me. I've had heartbreak and tragedy and loss and pain. I had to give up freedom, and I had to submit to authorities that I thought didn't know what they were doing. But I would do it again in a heartbeat. I am honored and blessed to be where God has put me. Even if it's the last place I thought I would be. If you told 14-year-old me that I would be at a church in the middle of Saskatchewan pastoring, I'd be like the kid I talked to yesterday. Couldn't wrap my head around that fact. Couldn't imagine being in a place like this. But the truth is that the high road, that Jesus' way, isn't as hard as it looks. The truth is that you find this unceasing, never-ending joy that beats out all darkness. It might seem difficult or impossible, but it isn't. Doing things God way, it can't be explained. You know, I've thought of a million ways to try to explain this, but I think the fact is that living out your faith is a ritual in and of itself. It's impossible to understand until you take a leap and you just do it. I can't explain somebody how playing guitar feels. I can't explain to somebody what coding a computer feels like. They just need to do it themselves and see how much better it is. Baptism is a cleansing. It's a show that sin has no more power in our lives, that our identity is found in Christ, and that our faith is going to be put into action. So if you're not baptized and you are interested, please come talk to me after service, because there is still time. If you come and talk to me today, we can make it work for you to get baptized next week. The cost is high, but the reward is infinite. And if you're a believer, you're not off the hook. I have a challenge for you. Do you remember your first love? Do you remember the passion you had when you got baptized? Do you remember how much fight you had for Jesus? Do you remember how much desire you had to tell everyone you knew about how awesome he is? The feeling that nothing is impossible if God is on your side. I think as a church, we need to find that passion again. I think we need to be filled with that desire that God is in control. Like Beth saying, we need to celebrate. God is on the move here and in each of our lives, and we don't stop. Nothing should stop us from carrying out the will of God. To see ourselves as new creations that conquer death and the deep waters. Let's pray. Father, I am in awe of you every day. That your son died for us, that we get to be something new, that there is a second chance for everyone who lives and everyone who breathes. Help us to share that with those who are lost. with those in our community, God, with those in our lives. Give us boldness to proclaim that your death is what sustains us. Lord, I pray a blessing over those who are getting baptized. What they're doing has a high cost. It's not easy, and it's not simple. But what they're doing is brave. And Lord, you will be with them every step of the way, and they will see your Holy Spirit descend upon them. Fill them with passion. Let nothing stop those who are entering into the family of God, and let their sins be washed as white as snow. Help us to celebrate what's happened in the past and what will happen in the future. There are no wasted days with you. In your name we pray. Amen.